Y'all, let's start it out right now. The title of this message is the Feast of Tabernacles, the time of prosperity. We think about the Feast of Tabernacles, we think about the millennial rule of Jesus, and this is so very true. But remember the four levels of Hebrew interpretation, even though Brother Kelly remembers them, and he's probably the only one here who knows the names of them. Peshat is obviously the literal one. I forget the other three, but God has so many multi-dimensions in here. And prosperity is one of the major themes of keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, I love to hear these prosperity teachers teach. Of course, I say that. I mean, I say things at the TV I'm probably not supposed to say. Amen. They tell you that if you want to be prosperous, you send them your money. Funny, if they really believed it, why didn't they send you their money? Huh? If they really believed that sending that $1,000 seed was going to make you prosperous, then why did they send you a $1,000 check? Amen. If they really believed it, you'd think they'd be practicing it, huh? Anyway, this Feast of Tabernacles is about celebrating the millennial rule of Jesus Christ, and that will be a time of peace and plenty and prosperity, the likes of which has never been seen before. And you're celebrating it is a time of celebration for all the good things that are going to take place then. But amen, you're celebrating it will bring it into your life right now. Amen. Did you realize your prosperity for the next 12 months is tied up in the way you keep this Feast of Tabernacles right here? Did you realize that? I never realized that until I went to the feast one year and kept it with a little bit of joy in quiet, dead church, and I had a pretty good year that year. I didn't make the connection because I'm slow. Someone had to actually teach me this, and I had to look back and say, yeah, okay, this one was kicked up one notch, and I had a notch better in my finance. Yeah, I have charts and graphs and all this stuff, Lisa, tell you. And I kicked it up another notch for the next year, and I had my finance kicked up another notch. And then somewhere along the way, we got Holy Spirit baptized and decided, hey, let's kick it up 40 notches, baby! And that's when things started getting exciting. Come on, y'all. Come on, I'm not the only one that did this. This peace during the time of the millennial reign will be enforced by the iron rod of Jesus, total control. You know, he says he's going to rule the earth with an iron rod. In other words, what he says goes. Ours will not be to wonder why, but just to do or die. He's not playing. Like we said before, the lamb has been here and the lion is on the way. When he sets up his rule over planet Earth, he's not trifling with it. When he says you're going to live by the laws of God, he's not playing with it. It's going to go out from Jerusalem. It's how all nations will be judged and all people will be judged in those nations. Human dictators cannot do this peaceably because they have flaws. We're talking about this at lunchtime today. You know, Jesus is going to be able to rule because he's perfect. In wisdom and understanding, he doesn't have human flaws. He doesn't have warped thinking. He doesn't have some kind of ironic, weird desire to put on the people. Amen. He's got your happiness and peace and safety in mind. And so the rules he's going to put down are going to be rules that, if followed by everybody, will bring everybody's peace and prosperity. Now, I love prosperity, but I got to be honest with you. If you want prosperity, you got to get off of TBN and get on to CNBC. That got lost on y'all. TBN is the Christian channel. It's always got these preachers on there begging for your money. CNBC is the business channel teaching you how to invest and make money. If you want prosperity, you got to quit sending your money to teachers that are just full of it. And you got to start putting your money in place. Come on, we all know this. Come on now. You know you had to work hard for your money and save it, invest it to have anything. Come on, you didn't get money from nothing. Dire Straits used to have a song for that. Get your money for nothing and your checks for free. Talking about rock stars. But rock stars and televangelists are all the people it works for. Amen. Everybody else got to work for a living. And you got to save and invest that money. It's not going to come any other way. Don't believe anybody else. Now, there are conditions that cause human beings to behave in ways that bring prosperity. It's not an accident. It's not an accident. If you practice those in your life, they'll bring you prosperity. If the nation practices them as a whole, they will bring a nation full of prosperity. Now, amen. If you're living the wrong way, you cannot enjoy that prosperity the nation has. Praise God. But if you're living right, according to the conditions that bring prosperity, then you will have more prosperity than your neighbors, irrespective. They are the rule of law, honesty in and enforceability of contracts, low taxes, and sound money. This is how you get prosperity. This is the only way to get prosperity. You can't do it another way. And I'm going to take you here in the Word of God. Now, I love prosperity. I've been studying it for a long, long time. After my bankruptcy and foreclosure, I made up my mind that I need to go learn from somebody who knows. So I didn't go to Mike Murdoch. I went to J.P. Morgan. Huh? I don't mean Jack, who lived in the 20s, because I knew some stockbrokers that knew him, actually. I went back to his daddy. I went back to Junius Pierpont Morgan, the one who raised the United States out of a commodity-based economy into an industrial nation. He's the only man in America, except maybe Alan Greenspan here recently, who's ever understood money. Money is a concept. And he understood money. He rescued companies, and at his word, he broke companies. If word leaked out that J.P. Morgan said thus and such corporation wasn't solvent, the thing was shut within a week, and he'd have to do anything. If the word got out that J.P. Morgan would not underwrite a certain bank down the road, everybody went down and got their money till they ran the bank and broke it. It was just that serious what he said. He lived in a day when there was no Federal Reserve or Open Market Committee, and he governed the United States economy as a private banker by himself. So I went back and learned from him. Amen? If you're going to learn about money, you might as well learn from the guys I know, right? You can't learn stuff you don't know from yourself, and you can't learn stuff you don't know from other people who don't know either. So you need to go to somebody that actually knows what it is you want to learn. Amen? Come on. The most preeminent preacher of prosperity in the United States is a man most of y'all have never heard of, Lawrence Kudlow. How many of y'all have heard of Lawrence Kudlow? Well, not very many. Oh, she has, because I'm always talking junk at the house. They call him Lawrence of America because he is so pro-bullish on America and the American economy and the American capitalist system. And he knows more about prosperity, probably one of the smartest men in America right now. None of y'all have ever heard of him. So how are you going to learn about prosperity if you listen to preachers on TBN who are all the time telling you to take your prosperity and send it off to them? And suck you dry. Now, you know we teach tithing in here, right? You know we teach Holy Day offerings in here. It's not like we're not teaching you how to live by the laws of God, but the rest of the time, you need to put your money in an investment of some type. Amen? Amen? Now, there's all kind of investments, and we're not going to get into those today. We're going to talk about that after church, maybe one of these weeks coming up. You know, you can buy CDs at the bank, which is buying somebody else's car loan. You didn't realize that, right? When you put your money on deposit in a CD, the bank loans it out on somebody else's car, and they pocket the spread. They pay you, well, now it's down to 4. They're going to pay you 4% or 3.75, and they're going to charge the dude 10.5 on his car note, and they pocket the spread. That's not a very good return, is it? Man, pretty stingy, right? Charge a dude 10.5, give you 3.75. Hey, that ain't working, is it? Debt instruments never do. But you go out and you buy stock. People say, oh, there's a lot of gambling in the stock market. You're right. You're right. The gamblers have pretty much ruined the stock market. But I bought a little company called Feral Gas, and it pays $2 a share dividend. And I didn't buy it to ride the price up and down. I bought it because I wanted my $2 dividend. Amen? That's good old-fashioned business. You go into business and you make money. Now, most of us that have been in business know you make more money in your business than you take home as a check. Come on. One of the biggest drivers of my net worth for years was White Lightning Cleaning Service. It wasn't the money I took home that drove my net worth out. It was the value of my business as it went up, as I grew the business, that made my balance sheet look good. So anyway, you want to invest in business. And by going to people who know about money, like Lawrence Kudlow, learning about business, learning about how to do business, learning about how to make those investments, you're going to learn a lot more about prosperity than listening to some goofy preacher tell you to send the money. Now let's go to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. You know, one of my favorite sayings that, you know, INSP, and I like INSP, by the way, but they've been on here talking about the holy days. You need to send your atonement offering. Hey, no holy day, no offering. Amen? They didn't even give you special programming for the holy day. And if they'd done that, I might have been involved. You know, like on the Day of Atonement, leading up to atonement, and on the Day of Atonement itself, they had special atonement programming, and everybody's fasting. Maybe they had some shows coming on telling you about how to fast and getting seriously into Leviticus 16 and Hebrews 7, 8, 9, 10. I might have been a lot more interested in sending them a little donation because that I'd be willing to pay for. They're going to actually promote the holy days, teach on the holy days, and lift up God and His meaning. Hey, I'm in for that. I'm in for that. But no holiday, no offering. Micah chapter 4 and verse 1. In the last days, and we've read this quote in Isaiah, but God gave this same word to Micah. The mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and peoples will stream to it. And many nations will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. Look, God doesn't tell you all this stuff in the Torah to hear himself talk. He's telling you this stuff in the Torah because he's expecting you to change your life, turn around from the way you were going, and come back and walk the way, live the way, follow the way he's taught you in his Torah. The law will go out from Zion. That word law is the Hebrew word Torah. You can look it up in any commentary. You can look it up in any Bible study notes. You can look it up in any concordance. The word law in the Old Testament always refers to the Torah. That's the first five books of the Bible, by the way. The word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. In other words, nobody's going to go to war, period. And when they have an issue or a problem with one another, they're going to come to Jerusalem and Jesus is going to tell them how to solve the dispute. And you know what? They're going to do exactly what he tells them. They're not going to say, well, I really don't want to do that, Lord. I think we'll just have to fight about it. Yeah, exactly. Hey, after that sword comes out of his mouth and he kills all them armies in the valley of Harmagedo, hey, I guarantee ain't nobody going to talk back. Come on now. Huh? When he gets done taking them behind the woodshed and whooping their backside good, nobody's going to talk back. Jesus said, do it, and baby, it's on the way, Jack. Come on, tell it. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good now. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Now look at the result of this. The result of Jesus' rule of law on earth. See, we always want to overlook the rule of law. We like the rule of law when it's going our way, but when it's us that has the problem and has to eat the consequence, we want it changed for us. U.S. got a couple trade disputes before the World Trade Organization where we've done the wrong thing. Oh, we liked it when we could jump on the other nations for doing the wrong thing. Oh, y'all got to get in line. But now that we've not lived up to our side of the agreement a couple times, well, we don't want to hear about no World Trade Organization. But you know what? This is going to make everybody mad at us because, see, we're not playing by the same rules. You have to have the rule of law. Everybody's got to follow the same rules. Since we were the preeminent nation that laid these rules down, we've got to play by the rules we wrote. Amen? When the Torah is the absolute law of planet Earth, the rule of law will be in effect. I could take you into Deuteronomy right now and show you where the king is to write a copy of this law. The king is not to be above the law. Amen? And we have a lot of people like kings to be above the law. There's a lot of countries that like the kings to be above the law. There's a lot of kings like being above the law. But God said, your king is only a brother Israelite and he's subject to the law as same as a commoner. Hey, come on now. Rule of law. And look at verse 4. Verse 4 is the result of the rule of law on planet Earth. Every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for Yahweh El Shaddai has spoken. Hallelujah. The rule of law brings prosperity, because no one can come and take your stuff. Come on now. No one can come and confiscate your stuff. You realize the original Constitution of the United States forbade an income tax? You realize that? The original Constitution of the United States, which, by the way, that's what the Southerners were fighting over, said that there shall be no direct taxation of the people because it is a collection of states and only taxes can be levied on the states, not on the people. Because every state was considered equal one to another. When you tax the people, New York's got a lot of people, and they send more money in than Vermont, who's got very little. And when we changed that, that was the license for runaway federal government, where they spend the money on the most stupid things they can imagine, just to spend it, and then that way they can go back and browbeat you for more next year. You wonder why taxes always go up? It's because they're always imagining something more stupid than last year to throw your money away on. Now look here. God is for social welfare. The Bible has provision for social welfare. We need social welfare. But here's the rub. Last data, 1991. For every dollar spent on those departments, 78 cents went to overhead. That's not cool. 78 cents went to overhead, and the 22-cent chump change actually went to the people in need. We literally could write everybody a check and forget about all the overhead and all the bureaucrats and save ourselves a lot of money. We literally could pay them like $40,000 a year and save money. Wow, that's heavy. We throw away more money. Of course, they never seem to cut that. Rule of law. Everybody gets to keep the result of their hard work and their hard labor. That's what makes people work hard. Come on now. You've seen your check. Have you ever looked at the gross part? You know, the little, it's gross. You ever know why it's called gross? Look at the net. That's why it's called gross. That's why it's called gross. Look what they did to you. Net and gross. People ask me, do you tithe on the gross? It's gross. Look how you tithe what you don't have. We did it for years. How you tithe what you don't have? You're supposed to tithe on what you got, not on what they got. They can tithe on what they got. Think about it. We live in a country with a $13 trillion economy, and nowhere near $1.3 trillion goes into church and gospel in this nation. Nowhere near. Nowhere near. Just imagine if $1.3 trillion went into gospel in the United States instead of the porn industry. Huh? We might not have so many Arabs wanting to kill us if we were putting gospel out as opposed to wickedness and nastiness. But instead, the other industry is nearing $1 trillion and the churches are languishing. Come on. These America, these United States. It's part of the rule of law. The rule of law says 10%. Not 45. Not 45. It's wrong to tax a rich man. You know the law of God says you shall not favor the rich, nor shall you favor the poor. But every man shall stand equal before the law and before God. So I've said it all along. God's a flat taxer. 10% everybody. Bill Gates needs to pay 10%. No lawyers, no loopholes. The dude begging on the corner needs to pay 10%. No loopholes. If he begged for 50 bucks today, $5 goes in, straight out. No difference for anybody. You know what? You know what that does? That makes him want to have to go work because he knows he got to have more than 50 bucks. When you took five, he's got to go get some more money, right? Come on. It's an incentive process there. But that also is an incentive process for Mr. Gates because when he only has to pay 10% and doesn't have to hire an army of lawyers and accountants to try to get a normal tax rate, that means he spends more time thinking up new ideas that are driving the economy, and he spends more time giving away money. You ever watch how much money he gives away? He spends more time investing money. Do you realize that Microsoft is one of the largest investment companies on planet Earth, investing in all kind of new technologies? They are taking that money that they have made from selling you all those great programs that make computers accessible to us, and they are reinvesting this in all kinds of new technologies that without Microsoft's investment would never see the light of day. Simple thing called the rule of law, the same for everybody, straight out, everybody knows the rules, the Torah. The Torah. How can people complain about the Torah? I paid 28% taxes last year, plus 15.5% Social Security tax that I'll never see. The Torah says 10%. How you complain about that? Huh? And I paid a huge amount of tax. God just wanted 10. And do you realize that God's 10 runs the government and the church? State, local, and federal? Think about that for a little bit. I had to pay property tax, sales tax, tax on tax. You know you pay tax on tax, right? Everybody's taxed at every level of the way. So everything you buy has got about 16 levels of taxation already on it. Look at gas. You know wholesale gas trades for $2 a gallon all day long? I watch it on CNBC. They show the price of wholesale gas up there. It changes every minute. It's always going up and down with the traders bidding it up all the time. It's $2 a gallon. I don't know about you, but I paid $2.79 two days ago. The difference is tax. Tax. And every politician you hear is always wanting to raise them more. They want a nickel gas tax increase just for the fun of it. I had to really catch and clean that up fast, but you know. They're always wanting more. They're insatiable for more. If they were actually doing something with it, we might have a different take on this. But they throw it away like it's nothing. Was it nothing to you when you had to come up with it? I don't know about you, I take a lot of ibuprofen. Take a lot of ibuprofen. It wasn't nothing to me when I came up with it. Amazing. This is all in my notes. I didn't even look at them. Peace will be universal. Countries and nations will not go to war, and they will bring their disputes to the King of Kings. So there will be no more warfare to take the wealth of nations. There won't be any need for giant aircraft carriers to be sent around the world or nuclear missiles to be armed, built, and manned and maintained. You don't have any need for all that stuff because there's not going to be any of that stuff anymore. So you won't need all of the government we have. We're not going to get into that today because we're talking about the Feast of Tabernacles here, and it's part in your prosperity, but I'm laying a foundation of what brings prosperity. But you know, God said that you save a third tithe in the third and sixth years of a seven-year cycle for the poor and needy. We talked at lunch the day before yesterday about you don't reap your field to the very edge, but you leave the border for the poor and needy to come and eat. You only beat the branches of your fruit trees one time. And after that, what's left and does not fall off is for the poor and needy. There's plenty in the Torah about good, solid social welfare. And something that we never ever point out in the law of God is it's personal. When you go to the government, it's impersonal. They give a person a check. There's not any human contact. Everything God does for the poor and the needy and the indigent brings contact with people who know how to do business so that you're rubbing elbows with people that know how to do it, with people got their act together, with people that are raising businesses and having farms and making things go and hiring people out. And so the whole time you're getting help, you're also being around people who are going to help you to be successful. As opposed to just that impersonal, you're just shoved off in the corner over there and forgotten about. Amen? God's ways work. Because He's a personal God. And every person is going to be able to keep the fruit of their labor. You're going to be able to keep the wealth that your hands produce. How much more wealth over the years would you have produced if you got to keep it? You know, rich people go on vacation during recessions. You know that? During the good times, they make all the money they can. But when the party comes in that raises the taxes and makes it all hard, they just close shop and go on vacation. See, they don't spend money during good times like the rest of us do. They save everything they make. They work all the work. Some of them work two, three jobs. They work like crazy. And then they go on vacation during recessions. Rich people don't care if there's a recession. They've already got money. It's us that have to try to earn a living every month to make all these doggone payments. Then when the party comes back that says we're going to clean this mess up and put the country back to work, they come on back and go to work. It's amazing how that works. We got to learn how to be on the right side of this. I've been trying. I've been slowly working it. Okay, I've had three cycles now. I've come from being way underwater over there to, hey, you know, at the end of this next cycle, I can join that program. I can go on vacation during recessions, and then I can work like crazy when the business is good. Amen? Lord will probably be back by the time we get that, and I'll forget it. Hey, God, chapter 2. Time's almost up. But I knew by the time I got it figured out and got it working, it'd be over. Hey, God. I love Hey, God. Hey, God, chapter 2, verse 8. Actually, we'll go to verse 7. I will shake all nations and the desired of all nations will come. That's Yeshua. Yeshua will come, the desired of all nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. All of the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares Yahweh El Shaddai. He's already made silver and gold money. You can't change that. He made silver and gold money. Silver and gold is real money. Do you realize that a dollar is defined in the Constitution of the United States as 7/8 of an ounce of silver? Do you know that? That's what a dollar is defined as. 7/8 ounce of silver. This paper in your pocket is unconstitutional, straight out. Unconstitutional. This country was set up on sound money. Do you know that when Andrew Jackson set out the specie circular and required gold as payment for land in the United States, that set the country on the gold standard and our prosperity was only interrupted by the Civil War for almost 100 years till we went off of it. Come on. Come on. People don't realize that. And not only that, but as the industrial age really kicked in and technology improved, the prices of things went down without causing economic calamity. The Fed had interest rates at 1% for 2 years too long because they worried about deflation. All right, you have paper money. Inflation does not mean that the prices of everything is going up. Inflation means the value of your money is falling apart. But deflations in paper money bring depressions and put everybody out of work. But when gold is the standard, the prices of things come down with better productivity and technology, and the economy gets better and better and better all along the way. But we're smarter than God. We think we're smarter than God, and we think we've outsmarted it. But you know what? We have three times too many dollars in circulation, and when they come home from overseas, we're going to have a real problem. And guess who's holding those dollars? China. Our buds. Yeah, you know, the ones that really love us. They're holding all those extra dollars, and when they come home, we're going to have a real issue. In ancient Israel, there were no coins as we know them because they refused to have a graven image. They weighed out the gold and silver. The shekels you read about is a measure of weight. Jeremiah talks about buying a piece of property, and the silver was weighed out. They weighed it out. Everything was priced in the weight of the gold and silver that you used. It's pretty cool, huh? Later they had coins, and they refused to put any graven image on them. They just put little figures on them. I forget, I think they had like leaves and stuff like that, and you had to use temple money. So that's why there were money changers in the temple when Jesus was upset with them, because they had to have temple money. You couldn't bring Roman and Greek money, which is all the money they had, amen? You couldn't bring that in the temple. You had to have special temple money. So you brought your pagan money, and they converted it. But the problem was, they were cheating the people. They were cheating the people. The Yeshua's issue was not the fact that they had to have straight money to go into the temple and make their offerings. Yeshua's issue was that they were beating the people out of the money and keeping the spread. Den of robbers. You've made my house a den of robbers. God wants straight money that cannot be inflated away. Safe and sound money. These are the conditions for peace and prosperity that cannot be broken by recessions and downturns. The business cycle is not supposed to be there, y'all. The business cycle is a product of unsound money. If people are following God's laws and His ways, then everything will go well. Of course, you know, you have to have the enforceability of contracts. But you know what? If your word is good, you know what He says? Your word, make your word good. Your yes, yes, your no, no. When you make contracts, He expects you to honor those contracts. Even when it does not come out to your advantage. Even when you make a bad one and you get hurt. Because your word is supposed to be good. No lying. Remember? The commandments. No lying. No stealing. And when people follow good, sound business practices, you know, that's why the prayer of Jabez works. You ever wonder why the prayer of Jabez works? You are praying for the Lord to enlarge your territory. Okay. If you're doing business God's way, He wants to enlarge your territory. Amen? Because that expands His kingdom. But if you're not doing God's business God's way, and I've known brethren in the church who, when it came to business, did business the devil's way because they didn't think it was right to do it God's way. You'll never get ahead that way, Schultz. Really. I don't care if I get ahead financially. I care if I get ahead in the kingdom of God. And if I'm not doing business God's way, it doesn't matter because I ain't going to be in His kingdom. So who cares if I get rich? Amen? Come on. But I'm here to tell you that when you do business God's way, your business will prosper. And the few people I've known that hadn't, including myself in the past time, is because I didn't know how to handle money. If you don't know how to handle money, that'll doom you. That meaning if you're taking in $100, you better not spend more than $50. Come on. You better save it back. You got to keep cash in the business. You just can't take all your money out of it. We had White Lightning Cleaning Service. We didn't take any money out of it for 2 years. Lenise and I worked free. Free. because you got to build the capital up in the business. We didn't have money to put into it. We had to generate that money by cleaning jobs and leaving it in the business so we had sufficient capital to underwrite the business. Then we could start taking money out. Come on. Money's the lifeblood of a business. You bleed it dry, it's over. Now, Isaiah chapter 2. Sound money, low taxes. Don't you all like that 10% tax? And no sales tax. You know, we pay 10% sales tax here. It's pitiful. Even on groceries. I don't know whose wicked idea that was. That's somebody I'd like to jack slap anyway. Here in Isaiah is the same passage that we just read in Micah. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths, and the law will go out from Zion. He will judge between the nations, and they will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Oh yeah, there's one more thing, and that's the Feast of Tabernacles. That's right. When you celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles with great joy, God has promised you prosperity. Do you know that? So you've got to set your life up where I'm going to follow the rule of God's law. Amen? If you're not going to follow Torah, it's going to be a rocky road. If you'll set your life up, I'm going to follow the rule of God's law. If your word will be true, your yes will be yes, and your no will be no, and you will deal honestly. Didn't he say that in the prophets over and over and over again? You did not deal honestly. You had two sets of weights, and you dealt falsely with your neighbor. No, if you'll deal honestly, you keep sound money. Now, how do you do that on an individual level? Obviously, you can't trade gold and silver when we're trading paper. You better be solvent. Meaning you better not have too many debts compared to your assets. You better be building sound assets with a mixture of real property, cash invested in CDs or bonds of something. I mean, treasury bonds, not goofy bonds. You better have some business assets somewhere. If you can't do business on your own, you better find a good business you can buy stock in. I mean a good business. Don't buy some whim that some broker's pumping for you, which is nothing more than a gamble. You better buy a good, solid business that's going to return you some money, because this is what you have to do to get your money sound. Amen? First thing you learn about good money is bad money chases out good. That's why all you have is paper, and that gold and silver is no longer in vogue. Because bad money chases out good, and we have this worthless paper here. Of course, it wouldn't hurt you to buy some what they call junk coins, some pre-1964 U.S. coins. They're real silver. Wouldn't hurt you to have some of that. You know, if there's a nuclear attack, that may be the only thing you can buy anything with. I'm being serious here. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 16. You celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles with great joy, then God's supernatural provision of wealth will be turned loose into your life. You lay that foundation in rightness, and then you come to the Feast of Tabernacles. You celebrate with great joy. Now look, y'all been celebrating. How many of y'all have been here the whole time? Has it been the time of your life? Man, I mean, look, some of y'all ain't been here in the daytime. We've been going out to eat every day at places. Look, this is the last time I can wear this coat. This coat, I mean, I got some stress on these buttons. You hear me? If one of them comes off, you better duck fast, Jack, because I can tell you right now, it's going to be coming at you fast. we've been living large and eating good, huh? We've been having a blast for these 8 days. And now, it's important. Following the law of God, save your feast tithe for next year, because you need something to bring to feast and celebrate with. Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. Celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days after you've gathered the produce of your threshing floor and of your wine press. Be joyful at your feast. It is so wonderful to see everybody dance and jump and shout, because this is the kind of demonstration of joy he's talking about at the Feast of Tabernacles. This is what you got to do at the feast to get the prosperity. Be joyful at your feast. You and your sons and your daughters, the people who work for you, the Levites, the aliens, the fatherless, the widows who live in your towns, everybody's supposed to enjoy the feast. Everybody's supposed to enjoy the feast. No one's supposed to be left out of God's goodness and His grace and His mercy and His prosperity and His overwhelming abundance and supply during the Feast of Tabernacles. That's why we tell you, bring your tithe. It's not just for you that you bring your tithe. As we read in Nehemiah so many times, it's to send portions for those who have none prepared. Those who have tithe are supposed to seek out the people who don't have enough and make sure everybody has a good time at the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen? That's what it's all about. For 7 days celebrate the feast of the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you. Now, how many of you don't need God's blessing this year? How many of you can do it on your own? How many of you know that your hard work and your provision is going to carry you through next year and you don't have to come and do this? I've seen my best provisions wiped out by one little attack of the devil when he wasn't even trying hard. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. And the Lord said he's going to bless you. Look how he's going to bless you. In all your harvest. It's not about sending your money to the televangelist person who's begging for your cash. Plant a seed in their ministry. If you want your harvest blessed, you come and keep this feast with joy. They don't have one single phrase in the scriptures that tells you to send them your money. And I just read you a verse in context, straight up word of God. You got to do this to get your blessing. Didn't I? Is that straight? Did I have to twist that verse? Oh, let's get a little twist on that to make it say what I want. No, that's straight out. He will bless all your harvest and all the work of your hands. And if that ain't good enough for you, if that's not enough of the Lord to take care of you for the year, he said, and your joy will be complete. Now, I don't know about you, but a little complete joy works good in my house. Hey, a little complete joy works good in my life. Hey, by feast time, I'm ready for a little complete joy, baby. And he says, if you'll celebrate God's Feast of Tabernacles of Joy, he'll bless your work and in your financial harvest. Do you want the super added to your natural? Huh? Do you want his super added to your natural? Hey, he's going to require you to work with your hands, but hey, amen. How many of us know that the best laid plans of men and mice fall? But if you want his super put on there, come on, I could use a little super in my house. I could use a little super in my balance sheet. How many of y'all at our teaching made a balance sheet? Y'all didn't do that yet? How are you going to know how he's blessed you next year to offer him out of the increase? You got to have a balance sheet. Just sit and list up your financial assets and put a dollar figure in your debts on the bottom. It don't want to be something real complicated and fancy. Because I went to bookkeeping school, doesn't mean you know you have to do it like I do it. Just list out how much you have in monetary value and total it. And then list down your debts underneath that, how much you owe, who you owe, and total it. And then subtract the debts from the assets. And if you're like me, when I start out, it'd be a negative number. I moved up to Jackson with a minus $6,000 net worth. We're doing a little better, baby. We're doing a little better. Over time, you've got to see this so you can see how God is blessing you. You've got to know the increase he's given you. How are you going to come in here praising for an increase if you don't know if you had one? How about the years you have a decrease? Come on, they come. We sing the song. You give and you take away. Still my heart will choose to say. Come on. So how are you going to know that if you didn't see the decrease? So you've got to watch his hand in your finance. But if you're not watching your finance, how are you going to see his hand? Come on now. Somebody give him some praise in the house. The Lord makes it happen when you've done all you can. He makes it go. How can you lose? You come to the feast to have a party of a lifetime. And he's going to bless everything you touch. Come on now. I don't know how much worse it gets than that. I told y'all, I used to be a party boy now. I mean, don't call me late to no parties. I'm the guy that comes up, you set up. I'm the guy that stays up, you take it down. We still finishing up the party materials when the thing is over, right? Come on now. It's no different than the Holy Spirit. Hey, I was here at the beginning setting this thing up. I'll be finishing this baby out Friday sometime. Y'all all be already gone. I'll still be in the office just glowing in the Holy Spirit and playing up some praise music and looking over all the final details, cleaning it all up. I'll still be going on Friday. When you come into church on Saturday, I'll still be feeling the feast. Come on. Come on, y'all. Don't call me late to a party. Deuteronomy 8. You come to the feast to have a great party in the Lord's honor, and you enjoy everything that makes you happy, and the Lord promises to bless everything you undertake. Come on, somebody give it up for the Lord now. Y'all don't praise him. I don't know what I'm going to do. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 10. When you've eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. That's why we do the Barukah at the end of the meal. When you've eaten and are satisfied, Barukah ta Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzei lekem min haaretz. Blessed are you, Lord my God, King of the universe, Yeshua my Messiah and King, who has fed me to the full. I'm satisfied, Lord. You've blessed me. That's when he wants to hear your blessing. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and the decrees I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and your flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied. Now look, when you like to have a little silver and gold increased in your household, come on, I surely love having a little silver and gold increased in my household. Come on. Then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land. And that can apply in the spirit too. You don't want to praise him, you're going in the desert, man. And believe me, when you're missing that Holy Spirit, you'll be wanting him. With its venomous snakes and scorpions, hey, that applies to the spirit too, because there's some venomous snakes out there, y'all. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble you and test you so that at the end it would go well with you. You might say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. But you better remember Yahweh Eloheinu, for he is the one who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is this day. Now think of this. Why don't we gain the wisdom from God and do it all his way from the start? Why do we always got to go out there and say, it's my strength and my hands, I did this, all my. Why don't we go to him and put him in charge first? Why do we have to come back to him after we've blown it? Come on now. Why don't we get on board with his prosperity program at the beginning, so that we're riding his rocket sled of financial freedom all the way? Come on now. Why don't we start out right and let him bless us along the way? Order our affairs the way God said to and keep the feast and then watch him add that supernatural turbo boost to your finance. Huh? You know, the whole point of coming to the feast is to bless the Lord your God after a year of his blessing you. Amen? When you eat and are satisfied. Hey, have we been eating good? Come on now, we've been eating. I mean, we're too good. I mean, I can barely fit in my clothes, man. My fat pants now are getting tight. Huh? It's time to bless the Lord for all this goodness. You know what I'm saying? You know, the Barukah is probably one of the best weapons you've got in the spiritual warfare. Do you realize that? Barukah ta Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. It's the Barukah. Blessing the Lord. We need to bless the Lord. We need to bless the Lord when we go to our jobs. Bless you. Blessed are you, O Lord my God, King of the universe, who has given me this job. We get that paycheck. Are you saying the Barukah? Barukah Tadonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. For this funds coming in my house. Do you bless him for your employees? Barukah Tadonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. For these fine people that are enabling me to produce wealth. Are you blessing him when you're dividing the money up in your budget? Barukah ta Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, to you, O Lord my God, King of the universe, who's given me the wisdom of how to use this finance to gain wealth. That right there will stop you from overspending. Because when you're going to start writing those checks out, it's going to echo back in your head. It's going to echo back in your head, and you're going to think, you know, I really don't need to buy that. I know I said yes, but I'm going to have to go back on my word on that one. We're just going to have to say no, because we're going to have to save this money and invest it. Huh? Because he's going to give you the wisdom to get wealth. Jesus is Jewish, y'all. I'll never forget watching this one rabbi. I mean, we all laugh at it. I'll never forget watching this one rabbi. He says, you know, Jewish people don't know how to be poor. They don't know how to be poor. They look at all these poor Christians and think, nah, that can't be right. No, y'all, something ain't wrong with you. Something ain't right with y'all, man. Huh? Jewish people don't know how to be poor. Because they're taught from this old how to be rich. We teach our kids how to be poor and wonder why they're not making something of themselves. The last time I went to the temple, I talked with an old family friend. He cornered me up. I want to talk to some more folks. He cornered me up, and he kept telling me one piece of education after another that his children have achieved. I mean, doctor this, doctor that, doctor here, doctor there, doctor, doctor, doctor. Wasn't medical either. And I'm like, wow. But you see, they bless their kids every week. Come on, that's why we pass this Erev Shabbat service at you. You need to be blessing your children, man. You need to be blessing your children. I told you, my daddy used to curse me. I thought that was my first name for a long time. That's what you called, right? Answer to what you called. So, we need to bless him. He's Jewish. He knows how to make you wealthy. Think about it. He knows how to make you wealthy. We're the ones who know how to be wealthy. At some point, you look at your finance and you got to say, Lord, you know how to do this, and obviously I haven't got the hang of this yet. So why don't you come in and take over? You start that right here. You start that by keeping the feast days. You start it by keeping the feast days. Your prosperity is based on how much joy you have in this room while we're celebrating this feast. Your prosperity is based on how much joy you have when we're out eating out. Because, you know, the Lord likes to eat out. Did you ever wonder about that? Wherever two or more of us are gathered in His name, He likes to eat out. He likes to have a good time. He likes a big tall glass of Shabbat wine. He likes to shout hallelujah. He likes all this stuff. And He wants to be a part of it. And so when you come into His holy time during the Feast of Tabernacles and you really kick your celebration level up, He's enjoying this with you. He's enjoying this with you. And that joy you're celebrating in Him, He's going to start applying that when you get home. He's going to start applying that in your house. He's going to start applying that in your finance. He's going to start applying it in your job. He said He's going to bless the works of your hands. Come on now. You know, you write your checks with your hands, right? You make the deposit at the bank with your hands, right? You whip these credit cards out with your hands, right? He's going to bless the work of your hands. You know, He gave you a piece of property. How many of y'all own property? You're supposed to tend it and keep it and dress it. I don't care if you're going to sell it later. That's your job, is to make it look like His kingdom. You come into the property and it looks like whatever the last owner did to it, you're supposed to make it look like His kingdom. Even if you're going to sell it to somebody else later, you make it look like His kingdom. When you make it look like His kingdom, that grows wealth in your balance sheet. And when you save it, turn it into cash, that's great. That's cashing out your profits. But if you don't, it just keeps growing, right? He knows how to get wealthy. Everything the Lord touches becomes wealth. Everything the Lord touches becomes wealth. That, you know, people wonder why I take so much care of my cars. All right, I'm a fourth generation car man. I give it up. But you ever stop and think about your thankfulness and your faithfulness for the blessing He's giving you governs what you get next? I want a nicer car than the one I'm driving. But I know if I don't show Him by how well I care for the one I'm driving, I better get used to driving. I'm going to have it a lot longer than I want it. And it may not be looking so swift. Come on. Come on, somebody give Him some praise in here somewhere. You know, if I'll take care of my assets and I'll show Him that I can handle my assets properly and wisely, then He'll bless me with more. Amen? How many of y'all want blessed with more? So, you know, all these preachers, oh, pray for me, preacher, that I get a brand new Mercedes. Well, you ain't taking care of your old Chevette, so, I mean, come on now. I mean, you ain't never waxed it. The paint's falling off. You know, I mean, you never did wash it. Enough, you got debris in there this deep in the floorboard. Come on now. I mean, show the Lord your take. Why would He give you a new Mercedes to wreck it? You know what I'm saying? The Lord is Jewish. He doesn't do stupid stuff like that. Come on now. If you cry and beg and moan enough, He might give you an old Maverick and let you try again. But, I mean, you know, I'm not besmirching the names of cars, by the way. I'm just pointing out old models that, you know, you might be driving at some point in your life. Look, I'll never forget this old Toyota Corolla I had. It was all rusty. It was so rusty, the trunk leaked. I had to tape the roof up with duct tape. I mean, it's a Florida rust bucket, baby. I live in Florida. It was so rusty, that I had to knock the holes out on the sides of the trunk so the water would run out. And I had to cover everything I put in the trunk with plastic on the way to church, so we always get a little Florida rain shower on the way to church. I wouldn't get my jacket, my briefcase, and all the Bibles and books wore out. Come on. Hey, the car had cold air. It's all I had to do. It had cold air and it ran. Okay? But I kept it clean. Hey, amen, I kept it clean. I duct taped that roof really well, kept the water out of the inside. I kept it vacuumed nice. I kept the dash armor rolled. I went and got some decent little tires for it and cleaned the wheels up. Hey, I did, you know, for the best I could. I could kind of take care of it. And the Lord blessed me with a new Civic. At the Feast of Tabernacles. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. He likes to bless you at the Feast of Tabernacles if you'll live right and do what He wants. Why is that? Why is the Feast of Tabernacles so important? Because the Feast of Tabernacles is the graphic demonstration of His way. The Feast of Tabernacles is the time, represents the time, celebrates the time when His rule, His way is going to be universal. As we've read so many times at the feast already, as the waters cover the ocean, so the ways of the Lord are going to cover the earth. That's why what you do at this Feast of Tabernacles is so important. The Lord hates those vacation feasts. I've heard Him say it in my ears. They're solemn feast days. I despise them because it's all about them. It's all about consuming it on their lusts. I believe Coleman read that in the first Bible study, consuming it on your lusts. See, you're supposed to come in here and have joy for the Lord. You're supposed to show your joy for Him. You're supposed to bless Him for what He's done for you. You're supposed to bless Him for what you expect Him to do for you. You're supposed to lift Him up and honor Him and glorify Him. And the fellowship is just as important. The Lord loves the fellowship. When you come in early and stay late and we're all here temple talking, He loves that. When you give Him the things He loves at His feast, He'll give you the things you love all year long. Come on now. Somebody praise Him in this house. I don't know what I'm going to do if you don't praise Him. Exodus 34 and verse 22. I always hear this every year. Exodus 34 verse 22. People say, well, Pastor, I just can't go keep all them old days, man. I'll lose my job. And I've known friends that did. I've had friends that lost their job. They were told straight to your face, you walk away from here, your job is over. But every one of them who wanted a job had a better job when they got back. And if you didn't want their job, and they didn't get one, because they didn't want one, you know, want to do something else. God's going to protect you. He's promised you in this passage of Scripture right here, He's going to watch over you while you're gone. Look, I try to find good subs. None of my subs, as good as they are, ever really do the job that I need done. Because they don't know how, they haven't done the practice in the job, they don't know it well enough, etc. But you know what? When I come back, after about 3 days of us back in cleaning the accounts, love you. We're so glad you're back. Huh? You got to work like you mean it. I mean, you know, the Lord doesn't understand not working. He's Jewish. They don't understand not working. Talk to any Jewish person I know. They work all the time. Sometimes two jobs, sometimes three jobs. They work. They don't understand not working. So when you go to work, you've got to do the job like you're working for the Lord. That's what it says in the Bible, right? Work is unto the Lord. But if your working is unto the Lord, when you come back, they realize nobody that took your place did your job. You know, people say, oh, anybody can be replaced. Well, you can get a warm body to fill in here, but you can't do what I do. I bring a lot to the table, baby. I have a lot of experience and a lot of ability, and I have a lot. I know what I'm doing at my job. You can put a warm body in there, but you can't do my job. You can't replace me. Some people are not replaceable. Now, I've seen a lot of folks that came to work, and yeah, you could replace them with anybody off the street. Any fool could do what they do because they're not giving it. Hey, what does the Bible say? A sluggard is like smoke to the eyes and vinegar to the teeth. And I've known a lot of them on the job. And you know what? When they go up to the Feast of Tabernacles, their replacement comes in, and everybody's happy they're gone. You know what I'm saying? But if you work diligent when you're gone, when you're home at work, they'll be happy to have you back. Now, Exodus 34 and verse 22. Celebrate the Feast of Weeks. That's Shavuot. That's Pentecost. With the first fruits of the wheat harvest. And the Feast of Ingathering at the turn of the year. That is, there's a whole teaching on that phrase right there. The ingathering. Because the millennial reign is going to be the ingathering. The first big harvest of humankind. The first big harvest of humankind. Amen. But when you celebrate this feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, and you come here, Three times a year, all your men are to appear before the sovereign Yahweh, Elohim of Yisrael. Okay? You got no excuse. All males got to show up. Well, I don't know about you, but I read in the New Testament where there's neither male nor... I guess that means everybody's got to show up, huh? He just said, don't fail to appear before me. Do not fail to appear before me. And he says, I will drive out the nations before you, and I will enlarge your territory. Amen? Hey, and if that ain't good enough for you, he's going to kick it up about 50 notches in the next phrase. No one will covet your job when you go up three times each year to appear before Yahweh Eloheinu, the Lord your God. He's going to bless you. He's going to take care of you. And no one's going to covet your wealth and your assets and your income-producing ability. Like I said, the very few people I've ever known to lose a job found another one within a few days that wanted it. Of course, a few I knew didn't want it right away. They had other plans for the moment. It's going to drive out the nations before you and enlarge your territory. You've got to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, y'all. Now, this was worded what? All your men are to appear before me three times a year. Other versions say you shall not fail to appear before me. You can't skip out on the feast days. I've seen it too many times. People start skipping on the feast days. I know right away. We're talking on the way home. Yeah, they skip the feast days. Yeah, they ain't going to be around long, are they? Can't cut on the feast days. These are like supercharged Sabbaths. These annual Sabbaths are like, whoa, 50 notches above where you are on weekly Sabbath. It's the appointed times. How many times you get an appointment to go see the President of the United States? And you've got a standing appointment to meet with the God of the universe. Come on now. Come on now. Hey, if he don't got a busy calendar, I don't know who does. If he ain't got a few things to take care of today, I don't know who does. But he said he's going to stop what he's got to do and make time for you, or you're going to go blow him off. Think about it. And he's going to reward you so handsomely. You can't find me one verse in this Bible that says you're going to get rewarded for keeping Christmas. I can show you half a dozen says he's going to whoop your hind in if you do. Praise God. I can show you quite a few verses that say he's going to whoop your hind in if you do. But here you got verses say he's going to bless you for keeping his feast. I don't know how you turn that down. Especially when you're having a bad year. Come on now, you got to come and rejoice before the Lord. Look, there's times we went with no money. And the Lord blessed us at the feast. And the Lord blessed us after the feast. And the Lord blessed everything we touched after we got home from the feast. Come on, y'all. We say he's a good God. Do you really believe he's a good God? See, there's a time to lay it on the line for the Lord. You know what I'm saying? There's a time to put up and shut up and do what he says and stand on these promises. These are promises. These are real promises. These are solid verses not taken out of context and straight up as any you'll find in the Bible. Praise God. Acts chapter 15. The celebration of this feast with joy determines your personal prosperity over the year. So worship him with all your heart. Praise him with all your joy. Joy. Overwhelming happiness. You know, if you're Holy Spirit baptized, or if you even just have the Holy Spirit, it ought to be easy to come in here and praise God. It ought to be easy to come in here and have some joy. Amen? Come on now. I don't know where anybody can make it any easier for you to jump in here and shout for joy when we all jump in and shout for joy. Come on, you got the music cranked up loud. It's kicking music, as they say. Come on now, rock and roll, church. Acts chapter 15, verse 16. After this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the remnant of men may seek Adonai, and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things that have been known for ages. This is the time. This is the feast to raise up the fallen tabernacle of David. The fallen tabernacle of praise to the Most High God during the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, David's tabernacle was not the tabernacle of Moses with all the compartments in it and the priests could only go in and minister at certain times and places. The tabernacle of David was a giant open-air tent. and the Ark of the Covenant, and they used to take the top off. You read in Psalm 91, I got under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. They took the top off and let the sun come in, and people would worship down in the shade underneath the wings of the Ark. Oh, great sovereign Yahweh! And they worshiped God. And people were open to come in. The Gentiles who were available, like certain Gentiles, it says they can't come into the temple of the Lord God, even to the 10th generation. And certain Gentiles, when you've been out dealing in swine and unclean things, you can't come in. But those who were prepared, those who were ready, those who wanted to seek Him, could come and worship the God of Israel before the Ark of the Covenant. God wants a people who will worship Him. He wants a people who aren't afraid to get under His wings and praise Him and worship Him. And you have the chance, excuse me, at this Feast of Tabernacles to come into assembly where people are worshiping without judgment. There is no reason to have fear of worship in this house. You can come and praise Him and worship Him at the Feast of Tabernacles with all of your heart, with no holdback, with no fear, with no inhibitions, to leap and dance with joy before the Lord. And that's where you get the blessing. It's your joy. It's your joy in this place. It's the worship you offer Him. Look, you could put everything you own on top of this altar in the way of an offering. It's your heart He wants. That's what makes me so mad about these televangelist preachers always begging for money. It's the heart of the people He wants. It's the obedience. It's the walking in His ways and living by His statutes that makes God happy. The financial stuff is secondary all the time. They make it primary because they're taking the money. I don't take a dime out of this thing. And I hope I never have to. Amen. Praise God. I hope we can always take every dime and put it into books and tapes and give them out to people without charge. Praise God, I hope it's this way forever, to the time the Lord comes back, that we can give away everything. Do you know that we mail feast books to people to keep feasts at other sites? We send Passover Seder books to people to keep Passover Seders in other churches? We mail whole sets of tapes to pastors overseas? I think we've taken care of at least 12 pastors in foreign countries by mailing them complete whole sets of teaching that they can go and teach the truth in their countries. And they beg me on the internet every day, and I can't send everybody that calls. I have 3 pastors, 2 in India and 1 in Africa right now on my email that I can't send a box of tapes to. I will try after the feast. Told you my mail-in bill's like $300 a month. Cost me $50 to send a box of tapes overseas. We always try to go through and pull our best tapes out. Good, solid, doctrinal teaching tapes so that these men and women overseas can spread the true gospel of the coming kingdom of the Father God ruled by Yeshua, our Messiah and King. Holy Days and Sabbath. I told you we printed 2,000 Sabbath books. That Holy Time with God Sabbath book, 2,000 of them in India and 1,000 of them in Kenya. That's a lot of word, y'all. A missionary who's coming on October 20th, Kelvin McDaniel, told me that for every book that you put out in India, at least 100 people will read it. That's a big work right there, y'all. That's a big work. So David's tabernacle was a tabernacle of praise and worship, and that's why we focus on it so heavily. This season of the year, your joy to the Lord will govern your checkbook, your retirement account, how your stocks and bonds are doing, and your house value. Come on, somebody, praise the Lord. You've been praising the Lord in here like you mean it, and it's going to increase your finance across the board. I don't know about you, but if that ain't worth shouting, I don't know what is. Believe me, I've had problems in my finances many, many times, man, to get a little increase in there. How many of y'all ever balanced your checkbook and there was more money in it than it was supposed to be? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Exactly. Praise God. Hallelujah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam. Blessed are you, O Lord my God, King of the universe, who puts extra money in my checkbook. Ow! Come on, y'all. Haggai 1, verse 2. This is what Yahweh Almighty says, these people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panel homes while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what Yahweh Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much but harvested little. How many of y'all have been through that kind of season? I've been in that season. I don't like it nary a bit. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Come on, y'all. Ain't y'all never done that? This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says Yahweh. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew it away. Why, declares Yahweh El Shaddai, because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy building his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens has withheld the rain. If that don't hit somebody, I don't know what will hit you. And the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle, and on the labor of your hands. We have got to rebuild David's fallen tabernacle of praise during this Feast of Tabernacles. We have got to rebuild, and it's not a rebuilding of stone and brick and metal and timber like this passage is talking about. It's talking about the praise and the worship and the quality of your heart that you are offering to God Almighty. It's a tabernacle of praise that's to be rebuilt in these last days. We read it in Acts, and we could have read it in different places. The last generation in Psalm 102 is supposed to praise Him into His return. That's the house that has to be rebuilt in these last days so that He'll come back and rescue His saints. Come on, y'all. Y'all don't believe me. Let's go to Psalm 102. Hold your place and hang out. No. We're going to go to Amos after this, but come on to Psalm 102. She's over there telling me she believes it, but I know she don't believe it. She'd like to see it in here for herself. Psalm 102, verse 18. Let this be written for a future generation. That's what your Bible says, right? Wrong answer in the English mistranslation. The Hebrew for future generation means last generation. That a people not yet created may praise Yahweh. You were created to praise Him. You were created to praise Him. We are the last generation. We were created to lift up our hands and praise Him into the earth. Come on, y'all. And rebuilding that fallen tent of David is what we have to be about, to have rain and crops and prosperity in your life while the rest of the nation crumbles around your head. You know what's going to crumble around your head? The next 7 years are going to be rough. It'll have to be rough for you, though. Because your prosperity is determined by the Feast of Tabernacles. But you know what? There ain't many feast sites around these here United States, are there? I've been driving around town. There's 100,000 people in this county. I don't know but 30, and most of them don't live in this county, that's coming in here. Somebody going to have a bad year, huh? We don't have to have a bad year. We can be having a real good year, praise God. We can be living large while they're having issues. Amos chapter 9. Oh my goodness, I'm never going to finish this. Amos chapter 9. Verse 13. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman. Hey. And the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills, and I will bring back my exiled people Israel, and they will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. Hey, come on, y'all. Don't you like to drink wine? Come on. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their land, never to be uprooted from the land I've given them. This is a time of prosperity when we're living right by the law of God. When Jesus is King of all the earth, we can keep the fruit of our labors and we can celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles without any fear. Great joy. God will pour out so much blessing we won't be able to keep it up. Because the plowman's going to overtake the... You won't be finished harvesting one crop when it's time to plant the next. Come on, y'all. All the hills are dripped with sweet wine. And that has a spiritual meaning to it as well as the physical meaning. You don't have to wait until the kingdom. You can have it now if you obey the Lord and celebrate. Joel chapter 3. Just back a couple. Verse 17. Then you will know that I, Yahweh Eloheinu, dwell in Zion, my holy hill. Jerusalem will be holy. Never again will foreigners invade her. And that day the mountains will drip with new wine. I think they use new wine as a metaphor for the Holy Ghost, right? And all the hills will flow with milk, and all the ravines of Judah will run with water. A fountain will flow out of the Lord's house and will water the valley of Acacias. But Egypt will be desolate and Edom a waste because of the violence done to the people of Judah. Better be taking care of his kinfolks now. Huh? Think about Israel. Take good care of his kinfolks now. He left us to take care of them. And some of us haven't done a very good job of it. He's got some issues with some people. So you make sure, as far as it relies with you, you are as good to his kinfolks as you know how to be, because he is not going to take it lightly. Now, times of great prosperity are going to be happening during the rule of Jesus on earth. When he rules, all of the supernatural provision that has ever been prophesied will be poured out on the inhabitants of planet earth. All of it. Everything you've ever heard talked about, supernatural provision, is going to be poured out in the millennial reign of Jesus. If you keep the feast, you can have some of that right here and in the now. Amen? You don't have to wait for the kingdom of God in your life. Isaiah 35. Verse 1. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord and the splendor of our Lord. Strengthen the feeble hands and steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with a vengeance. With divine retribution, he will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like the deer, and the mute tongue will shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and the streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. So much for pork barbecue. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. There's going to be a highway just for you through the middle of it all. Your highway to Jerusalem, where you can go and praise your Lord, your God. Nobody can get on it that will obstruct you. There won't be anything to get in your way. You will walk through what used to be the desert, and you're going to see beautiful landscaping all the way to Jerusalem, because there'll be nothing bad in God's kingdom. No more health care, no more health problems. All these fine physicians are going to have to find them a new job. No Medicare, no taxes, no health insurance to bleed you dry, because ain't going to be no sickness there. Things will always work out for good and not always on the bill to pay. Water in the desert and no more need for irrigation. Things will grow, people will have food to eat, and they will have wine to make their hearts merry. Amen. And the new wine of the Holy Spirit will be open to everybody. Nobody will have to ask for it or plead for it or wish he had it. They will all be able to just enjoy it in the hills dripping with new wine and every valley gushing with water. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord some praise in the house tonight. I don't have time for the rest of these verses, but if you're taking notes, I'll give them to you to list them down. Isaiah 60, the whole chapter. Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 11. Isaiah 65, 20 to 25. Isaiah 66, 8 to 13. We read Zechariah twice and Nehemiah three times. All of these verses talking about the great times that are going to come. You can tap into that by receiving the Feast of Tabernacles with great joy, worshiping God in this house, or any other Feast of Tabernacle house for that matter, with all of your heart, mind, strength, and soul. Because he said if you keep his Feast of Tabernacles, he will bless you with everything that you touch.